FinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle, just 48 hours away from the start of the divisional round of the National Football League postseason. Oftentimes, it is coined as the best weekend of the entire NFL year, with the second weekend of the NFL postseason about to get started. We welcome you here to Sports Grid Radio. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. 48 hours out, Joe, from the start of round number two of the NFL playoffs. Two straight days of two games each day, a doubleheader on Saturday and Sunday. It's the divisional round with spots and conference championship games at stake.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm really looking forward to, Ben, in regards to the divisional rounds. I mean, I think that these ball games Saturday and Sunday will provide, you know, very close ball games. You have a couple of large, almost double-digit underdogs like Houston and Green Bay, respectively, that I think could be in their ball game. So they got to play the matchups, and we'll see how it plays out. But nothing better than this, baby.
Nothing better than this. That is always the case, and this is what it's all about. Joe, before we get ready to break down the NFL divisional round, obviously some big news in the coaching world over the last 24 hours. We start with what is most recent before we react to the news last night. What just happened a little bit ago, we got word, Joe, that Bill Belichick is going in for interview number two with the Atlanta Falcons. It seems as though the Falcons and Belichick are on pace to find this partnership together to name Bill Belichick the new head coach in Atlanta. Nothing is official yet. Obviously, you got to sign that bottom line, but let's bring in our Sports Grid Radio audience here. Football Full Circle, Sirius XM Channel 159. 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi. This is Football Full Circle, and a second interview is going to be had between the Atlanta Falcons, Joe, and Bill Belichick. Again, it is starting to seem and trending toward a potential partnership in Atlanta between the Falcons and naming Bill Belichick their new head coach.
Yeah, and it's a pretty good fit because you have young talent that's already established at the skill positions, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts, and you have a defense that did not live up to expectations. So with the veteran defensive coordinator, that defensive mind by Bill Belichick, still one of the best in terms of all of the NFL, there's the potential to coach this team up. The problem, I think, with the potential marriage is the quarterback position, and that's where you have to potentially take a look, because he did draft Mac Jones. He did draft Bailey Zappi. It didn't all work out all that great in New England, so that is the biggest question mark for Atlanta. The talent is there, but the main question is where Bill Belichick has failed, and we'll see how this plays out, because after Tom Brady, Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots regressed.
Yeah, and that's really the case, Joe, right? That's the natural follow-up question. There is no doubting the coaching resume and the accolades that Bill Belichick has had. 331 total wins, 302 in the regular season, 31 postseason victories, second most all-time by an NFL head coach, only trailing Don Shula and just trailing Don Shula by 14 games at this moment. That is what Bill Belichick has done. Nobody has won more Lombardi trophies than Belichick himself. Six Super Bowl championships during his time in New England. He has been a head coach of the National Football League for nearly three decades. He has been around the National Football League for much longer than that. But I think there is the natural question, Joe. What does success look like for Bill Belichick moving forward? Because 4 years without Tom Brady, only one winning season, only one playoff appearance. In the 4-13 campaign that he had this past year in New England was the least amount of wins he has ever had in his 29 years as an NFL head coach. I have been one, Joe, to say that I think it's having to do with the fact that Bill Belichick, not the football coach or football mind or defensive savant, but more so Bill Belichick, the front office executive, who did not do a good job in any of those front office decisions, either drafting or free agent acquisitions or otherwise for the Patriots. It wasn't a very talented roster, certainly offensively, the last few years in Foxborough. I think that's more to blame for Bill Belichick than the actual coaching expertise. So if this new relationship in Atlanta does develop and Bill Belichick is the next head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, I would think that they say to Bill, focus on the football. We'll handle things up in the front office, but it might be difficult for Bill Belichick to just relinquish all of that control.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. At his age, is he willing to just let it go and then just coach the X's and O's on the sidelines? If that's the case, then potentially Bill Belichick can be a great hire with Arthur Blank in Atlanta. I think that's the biggest question mark. We don't know that type of situation. Or is Arthur Blank the coach that's saying, the owner that's saying, you know what, Bill? I believe in your resume. I don't want just a coach. I want you to make all the decisions. Let's take this together back to the Super Bowl when we were there with Matty Ice. That is, I think, what we need to figure out, because the outsiders believe he can't do both. Does Arthur Blank believe that as well? That's the biggest question mark right now.
Right. That is a really good point as well. There is the investment and the resources from Arthur Blank, a guy that wants to win right away. There are talented pieces on both offense and defense for this Atlanta Falcons side, a team that went under their win total, however, in 2023, 8.5, the number, finishing at just 7-10. 7-10 is exactly the record Atlanta was each of the 3 years under Arthur Smith. The question, of course, Joe, for the Dirty Birds moving forward, it's not Desmond Ridder at quarterback. It's not Taylor Heinicke. It is drafting or acquiring a quarterback to lead all this talent around them to greener pastures in Atlanta. Belichick, probably the guy going to lead them to do that. Josina Anderson, Joe, NFL insider for CBS Sports, saying that unless something really materially changes, obviously a contract still has to be inked, Bill Belichick is going to be the next head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Again, this is picking up steam by the day, by the minute. I would not be surprised, Joe, by the end of this week or maybe even early next week, Bill Belichick officially named the head coach in Atlanta.
Yeah, well, again, you know, I don't know how I feel about it. I want to know what that means in regards to his overall capacity to make roster moves, because that is the biggest question. When I look at New England, right, their defense statistically top 10 in certain areas, very good against the run in certain ball games down the stretch against the Steelers in Denver. They won those ball games as underdogs outright. So that matters. He could still coach. But the playmakers, look at what he put around Mac Jones, Devontae Parker, Parker. He drafts DeMario Douglas. All right, maybe he came on a little bit at the end of this season. Hunter Henry. These aren't elite offensive weapons, and didn't know how to really utilize them in terms of the staff that he drafted. Bill O'Brien couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag for most of the season, so, and play calling. So we'll see. This offense needs an overhaul. It didn't get that with Arthur Smith. It has the potential to be Arthur Smith 2.0 right now.
It's a really good point, Joe, because it's not just Bill Belichick and what he could do defensively, or not just Bill Belichick and the success that he has seen 24 years in New England. It's who does Bill Belichick surround himself with? Who are those coordinators? How does the coaching staff fill out for the Atlanta Falcons if indeed it is Belichick becoming the new head coach in the ATL? More coaching news as the carousel is truly starting to spin up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and live on Sirius XM Channel 159. So, Joe, there is some news around Bill Belichick. The Atlanta Falcons are going to conduct a second interview with Bill and maybe bringing him to Atlanta to be their next head coach. But last night, Joe, big news out of Dallas. The Cowboys are not making a coaching change, and they are staying with Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy will return as the Cowboys head coach in 2024. Joe, did Jerry Jones in Dallas get this decision right?
Well, it depends. Here's the thing. If you're asking me, no, because they got absolutely kicked in the teeth and boat raced by Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers. Another one and done for Dak Prescott and Jerry Jones in regards to the playoffs. Mike McCarthy did not have the offense or defense prepared. They came out flat. They won 16 home games. So I would say no. However, if you're talking about Jerry Jones still being in control, Jerry Jones still being the puppet, meaning using Mike McCarthy as the puppet and he can control him, then yeah, that's a perfect hire, and they're not going to move away from that because that's what Jerry Jones wants. He wants ultimate control over the team, and yet he wants McCarthy to win ball games. So I think in that regard, Ben, it's perfect because if Jerry Jones went to a coach like Bill Belichick, who wants to oversee things as well, there would be a power struggle. It would resemble Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones back in the day. That's not what he wants. He only did it once with Bill Parcells, and he never went back to that style. So I don't think it's, I think it's bad, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, so it's interesting, Joe. When you look at Mike McCarthy, 4 years as Dallas's head coach, a 42-25 record. Dallas has won at least 12 games in the regular season the last 3 years, and in that three-year span, two NFC East divisional championships. For many, that would be well more than enough success to remain as the head coach entering year number five. But of course, the Dallas Cowboys are not judged by regular season wins. They are not judged by divisional titles. It is rather conference championships and Super Bowl appearances, of which the Cowboys have not done since 1995, their last Super Bowl championship under Barry Switzer as the head coach. Joe, we said this yesterday. Seven head coaches now, including Mike McCarthy, the past 4 years for Dallas since Switzer last won the Super Bowl with the Cowboys in 1995, including Barry Switzer, who was there until the late 90s. Nobody, none of those head coaches, Jason Garrett, Wade Phillips, Bill Parcells, Mike McCarthy, nobody has advanced past the divisional round to a conference championship game in the NFC. This is not a Mike McCarthy issue, but it is a Cowboys issue. And when you win 12 games and you're a two seed at home where you have won 16 consecutive home games inside Jerry World at the Star, and you're a touchdown favorite against the youngest ever playoff team in NFL postseason history, and you get embarrassed. You get run out of your own building. You lose by 16 points, and the final margin is not truly indicative of how lopsided the game actually was. Oftentimes, Joe, somebody needs to be held accountable. It was interesting in that component of the conversation that Mike McCarthy was not let go. However, Joe, we've seen coaches on the hot seat entering a season. Nobody's seat is ever going to be warmer than Mike McCarthy next year in 2024. He has 1 year left on his contract. There was no extension, despite Jerry Jones saying we remain committed to Mike McCarthy. If things do not work out next year, and I don't mean if they don't win 11 regular season games, if they don't get to the playoffs or they don't even win a playoff game, even if they're the number one overall seed and get a bye to the divisional round, if they can't get to the conference championship, somebody is going to be on the chopping block.
Oh, absolutely. How about this? They better start fast next year as well. They got off to a very good start. They dominated New York Giants 40-0, so there was no pressure from the get-go for the most part, right? Now they struggle. They're 3-3 after 6 weeks. He might be chopped mid-season, Ben. So that is the biggest concern right now. It's like, okay, you got the job, but you better live up to expectations. You better make sure that you're in contention for an NFC championship and, more importantly, an NFC East title. That is the biggest thing. We have Philadelphia that we know Sirianni, for the most part, is going to stay, it looks like. They're going to be, I believe, the front runners still with Jalen Hurts and all those playmakers. It's not going to be easy for McCarthy. He looked like he ate a bad plate of eel during that game. He looked yellow. He looked white. He looked like he wanted to throw up when they were down 27-0. And if potentially Dan Quinn does take a head coaching job at either potentially, let's just say, Seattle or the Titans, what does that mean for that defense? Does that take a major step back?
The defense took a major step back through the remainder of this regular season under Dan Quinn, and obviously that was exposed in the game against the Green Bay Packers to start off Super Wild Card Weekend on Sunday. But that is an interesting component as well. Kellen Moore has moved on. Mike McCarthy was the guy calling the plays. If they have to add to the defensive staff, what does it look like for Dallas entering next season? So Mike McCarthy will remain as the Dallas Cowboys head coach into 2024. Dallas, one of the two NFC East teams that was absolutely embarrassed and had their season come to an end in a disastrous fashion during Super Wild Card Weekend. The other, the Philadelphia Eagles, who lost in Tampa as a 3-point road favorite 32-9 in the Monday Night Football finale of Super Wild Card Weekend. The Eagles are already starting to approach the coaching market in terms of coordinators. And Jeffrey Lurie, the owner in Philadelphia, has not yet met with Nick Sirianni, his head coach, to form a path moving forward. That meeting, though, according to Diana Russini, Joe, reportedly now is set. What do you think the ultimate conclusion is going to be in Philly?
I think it's Sirianni, and I understand there's heat, right? But it looks like the players want to keep him. Jalen Hurts, Fletcher Cox came out. And who are you going to get? Because I think it's very important that, you know, that you keep a coach that has a mindset and an intensity. Now, Nick Sirianni, they lost it down the stretch, but he's still, in my opinion, a fiery guy. You saw that when they were 10-1. He has the ability to scream and yell. Again, you get a Bill Belichick type of player, a coach there, I don't think that's a great fit. I think these kids need a kick in the ass, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I believe the only coach I'd be willing to move away from Sirianni is Mike Vrabel, because he's a hard-nosed guy. He's a younger guy. He predicates physicality and a blue-collar work ethic. That, to me, would be a good fit. But if you're not going to get Vrabel, then I would stick with Sirianni.
So it will be really interesting, Joe, because Nick Sirianni is known as a CEO culture head coach. He can work with Howie Roseman. He can work under the guidance of Jeffrey Lurie to figure out exactly what the best path forward is in Philadelphia. He's not the guy that's beholden to his offensive scheme, that if they wanted to make changes, he might have an issue with it. Now, that being said, what was the biggest difference as we look back on 2023 for the Eagles as compared to 2022? Well, the coordinators they had in 2022, Shane Steichen offensively, Jonathan Gannon defensively, became head coaches entering 2023. Steichen in Indy, they were a win away from a divisional championship despite having a preseason win total of 6.5. And the Cardinals under Gannon, Joe, again, not a wildly successful year in terms of stacking up wins, but booked as an underdog in all 17 games for a team that had a preseason win total of 4.5 to go 9-8 against the spread as an underdog in all 17, a better and more competitive year than we probably thought for Arizona. So if Sirianni, which I believe he will be, if Nick Sirianni remains the head coach of this Eagles franchise, Joe, it's about finding those coordinators again that are at the level of a Shane Steichen or a Jonathan Gannon, more than likely moving forward from Brian Johnson offensively. And on the other side, whether it was Sean Desai or Matt Patricia, whoever ended up being the true defensive coordinator, to put Philly back in those best positions for success. We'll keep it rolling here on Football Full Circle. Some divisional round previews coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Let's take an early look at the divisional round weekend in the National Football League postseason. Joe, four matchups ahead in the divisional round. Many consider it the best weekend of the NFL playoffs, maybe the entire year in the National Football League in 2023. Two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday, both the one seeds into the fold here in the playoffs and in action on Saturday. The Ravens, the one seed in the AFC, the most wins this year in the NFL during the regular season. 13 of them play host to the Houston Texans, a 9.5-point spread. San Francisco, the number one seed in the NFC, a 9.5-point favorite as well against the Green Bay Packers. That's the nightcap on Saturday out in Santa Clara. Two games on Sunday. The Lions, for a second consecutive Sunday, will host an NFL playoff game. The Buccaneers come into the Motor City as a 6.5-point road underdog, and then it's the marquee matchup, the fourth and final game of the divisional round, and it is the highlight, Joe. It's the Bills, it's the Chiefs in Western New York, a 2.5-point spread in favor of Buffalo. Joe, which game are you most intrigued by during this divisional round?
I think it's a Saturday night game. It's San Francisco and Green Bay. And the reason why I say that is you have a hot young team in terms of the Green Bay Packers with a quarterback that's playing lights out in regards to Jordan Love. We talk about it and talked about it on Pro Football Today. You know, last nine games, 23 touchdowns, three interceptions, the emergence of Aaron Jones as it relates to the rushing attack. He, entering that ballgame, was averaging last week 119 rushing yards per game, had another 100-yard performance, against a very good defense in terms of the Dallas Cowboys. That was their strong suit, right? The front seven led by Micah Parsons, and they pushed them around. And we see this defense become opportunistic. Not only that, but there's some supposed rain in the forecast. If that's the case, and it's an uglier type of game, you know, it gives the ability for Green Bay to potentially play within the number and be within striking distance. And I think they're live Saturday night.
Yeah, so there is going to be some rain, potentially in Santa Clara. There should be some rain or at least some cold in Baltimore in the Charm City, and maybe some winds that can get a little gusty north of 15 miles per hour. So, Joe, let's go game by game here, just our early thoughts. We'll break down the entirety of the weekend, prop perspective, individual matchups, who will have those advantages entering the division around, and who will earn those spots in the conference championships when we come to you on a Football Friday tomorrow at noon Eastern time here on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. But game by game, Joe, in chronological order, early thoughts Saturday in Baltimore. Again, the Ravens, the number one overall seed in the AFC, the most wins in the AFC and the entire National Football League this year, a 13-4 regular season record. Baltimore did not play its starters week number 18, had the open weekend to start off the opening round of the playoffs. And Joe, some good news for the Ravens as well. Mark Andrews yesterday at practice listed as a full participant. He might play on Saturday for the flock. The Ravens a 9.5-point favorite, the total 43.5. Joe, what is your early thought for the Ravens and Texans in that matchup?
I'm going with the Texans, and I know they played week number one, and Baltimore got the win in the cover as a 9.5-point favorite. It's a much different offense now in regards to C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins, one of the best, you know, 1-2 combos that we see in terms of the AFC. And I love what D'Amico Ryans has done from a defensive perspective. Think about this. The rematch with Joe Flacco. In the first meeting, Flacco throws well over 300 yards. Amari Cooper, you know, the record performance, 264, you know, just abused that secondary. They contained him in the second meeting. They forced Flacco to look for other options. Amari Cooper only had 5 receptions for 52 yards. That front seven bounced back in a big way. 2 weeks ago, they gave up a 188 to Jonathan Taylor. They held Cleveland to 2.8 yards per rush, forced Flacco into predictable third downs. And if they could do that and keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket to potentially go through the progressions, I think they're going to be in this ballgame. Now, whether they pull it out or not, that remains to be seen. But I'm taking the 9.5 with C.J. Stroud and the crew.
So that was my question for you, Lisi Guy. Do you think Houston can win outright? Because last weekend, super wild card weekend, spreads really did not come into play. Only in one spot. That was, of course, in the game between Detroit and Los Angeles, Sunday night in the Motor City. It was the only game decided by a single score. It came down to a single point. The Lions did not cover as a 3-point favorite and yet won the game to advance to the divisional round. The 5 other games decided by at least 2 touchdowns, whether it was the underdog winning outright, like the Houston Texans, like the Green Bay Packers, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the spread had nothing to do with it. And then in the other 2 spots, the Chiefs hammered the Dolphins, covered as a 4.5-point home favorite. And of course, on the first game on Monday, Buffalo covered as a double-digit favorite, beating the Steelers by 14 points. So do you think, Joe, that if Houston is going to cover this number, they are going to have a shot to win the game outright in Baltimore on Saturday?
Yeah, I think, look, as long as they don't turn the football over, I think this is a 4-quarter game, 1-possession game, and I think they're attractive at plus 350 on the money line. We've seen Baltimore struggle at times. We saw them lose to Indianapolis and Gardner Minshew. That was an uglier type of game. I think it was 19-19 after regulation, and the Colts won it in overtime because Lamar Jackson struggled. And they have the type of defense where, you know, D'Amico Ryans, they don't have dominant defensive players, but D'Amico Ryans does a fantastic job of just scheming and putting his players in opportunities to make plays that why can't, I mean, they force Flacco to turn the ball over twice. If they do that to Lamar Jackson, they're going to have a chance to win it.
I mean, that is certainly the case. And when you look at Baltimore, Joe, this year as north of a touchdown favorite 4 times, 1-3 against the spread, did lose once outright to the Indianapolis Colts in the opening month of this NFL campaign. The only win, the only cover, I should say, for Baltimore as a north of touchdown favorite was that week number 1 opener against the Houston Texans, 25-9 in the final. Lamar Jackson only threw for 167 yards. Of course, it was a much different Houston Texans team. First game for D'Amico Ryans as a head coach. First game for the rookie quarterback in C.J. Stroud, who does not play like a rookie at this stage into his first year in the NFL. Just something to keep in mind. I would not look at that game week number 1 as any indication, Joe, of what we are going to see on Saturday afternoon into the evening hours in Baltimore. The nightcap on Saturday in Santa Clara, it's the San Francisco 49ers and the Green Bay Packers. Also a 9.5-point spread, Joe, and it features the highest total of the weekend. The over-under is 50.5.
Yeah, I mean, that is interesting, right, in regards to, you know, the San Francisco game. I do feel that this game, whether or not there's weather involved, Ben, this game trends to the under. And here's the thing. I know that Jordan Love and Green Bay started fast last week, but I think in terms of this matchup, they want to sustain drives. They want to keep Brock Purdy on the sidelines and be a little more methodical. That doesn't mean slow it down completely, but I think this game could resemble maybe, you know, 24 to 20. money in regards to that and be in striking distance. I'll take the dog again in terms of the Green Bay Packers. I think they're also live at plus 350. I know that sounds crazy, but again, you talk about a hot quarterback, you talk about the rushing attack of Aaron Jones, the defense now with Jair Alexander and that defense forced turnovers. I know he's a question mark, but it still comes down to they've been much more opportunistic at the end of the regular season than they were in the first half, and that matters. And I like Matt LaFleur. You know, doesn't get mentioned enough. He's an elite head coach. I mean, I know he hasn't won a Super Bowl, but in terms of his preparation, getting his players out in space, creating one-on-one opportunities, he's as good as anybody. If he finds the mismatch, he's going to exploit it against San Fran. And just keep in mind this. San Francisco lost one game at home. It was to Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. The passing attack sliced and diced them up for 303 tutties. Green Bay has the type of weapons to challenge that defense over the top.
So here's the interesting thing, right? When you think about Matt LaFleur, he comes from the Shanahan coaching tree, familiar in that way. This is also a large rivalry renewed, the 10th all-time playoff matchup between the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. That is the most postseason games between two franchises in the history of the National Football League, now setting a new record by the time we kick on Saturday night in Santa Clara. Two teams that know each other well, two offensive schemes and head coaches that know each other very, very well. This is the hardest game for me, Joe, on the board. I'm not sure I'm going to have a single bet in this game if I'm truly being honest. I think Jordan Love's number, I don't know. I think San Francisco, of the 9.5-point numbers, I actually think the Niners have a better chance of covering this game than I think the Ravens do of covering against the Texans. I think it's going to be close. I don't think any of those two games that feature a 9.5-point spread are going to be blowouts where it's 41-10 and it was never even competitive from the very jump. But I do see there being a single-score game at some point in the fourth quarter where San Francisco goes on a drive to ice the game out. They win by double digits. But I don't feel strongly about that. I wouldn't recommend laying the 9.5 points on San Francisco, but when you look at this team that won 12 games this year, booked as a favorite in every single game 10 times, Joe, 10 of the 17 games, they laid more than a touchdown. The San Francisco team that won all of their 12 games by at least a touchdown. I wonder when it runs out slightly for Green Bay. Jordan Love has been consistent. He might be the best quarterback entering this weekend based on recent performance. We'll discuss that up next because that is really going to be the key for me to determine what happens and how competitive of a game we have on Saturday night in Santa Clara. It's next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live. It is Football Full Circle. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. So, Joe, we were breaking down the Saturday night cap of the doubleheader on the first day of the divisional round weekend between the Niners and the Packers. I told you it's the hardest game for me to handicap to get a true feel of what is going to happen. I'm not sure I'm going to have a single bet in this football game. If I was going to lean anywhere, though, it would be with Jordan Love. Over 246.5. Yes, San Francisco is a top five defense pretty much in every statistical category throughout this season. When you look at what the 49ers have done defending the pass this year, they have been very good in that respect as well. But when you look at an overall sample size for Jordan Love entering this football game, Joe, it's not just like the final 3 weeks to lead the Packers to a playoff push, or he had a really good game against the Cowboys on Super Wild Card weekend, so we feel optimistic he can keep it rolling. Dating back to week number 11, Jordan Love has thrown for at least 256 passing yards in 7 of those 9 games. The Packers have won 7 of those 9 games. Jordan Love has 21 touchdown passes to only one INT in that 9-game span. He might be playing at the highest level of any quarterback entering this weekend. And, of course, we saw what he did in his playoff debut against Dallas, 16 of 21, 272, and three touchdowns. The numbers would have been astronomical had that game actually been competitive against the Dallas Cowboys. I just wonder, Joe, how that looks for a San Francisco team that has had the extra time to prepare and is incredibly stout defensively already.
Yeah, and that's why they have the number one seed, you know what I mean? So I understand exactly, you know, what you're saying. You are right about Jordan Love in regards to that. Numbers are astronomical. The only, I guess the only downside, and I'd probably be in it with you, is if you're going to make that bet, I suggest you make it closer to game time, because if there is wet conditions or it's a monsoon, then it's going to be a lot harder to do that in regards to getting over that number, right? So you're absolutely right. Jordan Love is the key. But I also look as well, Ben, and I know we'll go and transition. Keep an eye out for his legs in this matchup. I think his ability to break contain, especially if San Fran plays man-to-man coverage, that could be an area. And I'm also looking at Aaron Jones in the receiving game. They utilized him a little bit against Dallas, against a very overactive front seven in terms of San Francisco. Yeah. That's how you maybe get this player out in space as opposed to just lining it up and running the football.
Jordan Love was not sacked by the Dallas Cowboys, who are often vaunted as a really good front seven. San Francisco doesn't bring a lot of pressure. They rely on their outstanding defensive line, Nick Bosa on one side, Chase Young on the other, to bring havoc to the quarterback. I wonder how this offensive line for the Pack does on a second consecutive weekend in the NFL playoffs, keeping Jordan Love upright. All right, Joe, next up, as we keep it moving with our early thoughts, again, a reminder, a Football Friday tomorrow will be a full divisional round preview, breakdowns of the games, where we see things against the spread, the totals, the numbers you need to know, prop perspectives, the individuals that could dictate the outcomes and earn those spots in a conference championship game. But next game up, Joe, the first game of the doubleheader on Sunday, the Detroit Lions and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Detroit had not hosted a playoff game since January of 1994, before this postseason got started. They are now hosting a playoff game for two straight Sundays. 6.5 points, Joe, in favor of the Lions. The over-under, 48.5. What's your early read on this game?
So I'll take a different approach. You say the game that you're a little perplexed about is the Green Bay game. I'm a little perplexed about Detroit and Tampa Bay. I don't feel as strongly about this game from a side perspective, Ben, as in regards to just saying, yeah, I think that Detroit's going to boat race them in terms of this matchup. And the reason why I say that is because Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield are so consistent in regards to the passing attack and now the rushing attack that's come on with Rashad White. That was the weakness of Tampa Bay for much of the first half of the regular season. The rushing attack was inconsistent. Rashad White was lucky for multiple games to get over 40 rushing yards, and they were playing from deficits. Now they're playing out and ahead. The offensive line is showing continuity, and I think they could go toe-to-toe with the Detroit secondary that's a little suspect. We saw Nick Mullins attack them over the top later in the year. We saw some other teams attack them as well. As it relates to the passing attack, we have Godwin, Evans, and a hot Baker Mayfield. I lean to Detroit in this ball game, but I don't feel confident. The one pick I do like is I don't think this game trends to the under in any capacity. It's a party over, baby.
The party over. We'll get things going on Saturday. Now, I actually am curious how this game plays out. The Buccaneers are one of the best defenses left at this stage of the postseason. Fifth best scoring defense in the NFL all year. The Detroit Lions are the worst defense left out of the eight teams in the NFL's final eight. They are giving up more than 21 points per game. They gave up 23 to the Rams in the opening playoff game, but when they needed to, really buckled down against LA. Three red zone trips for the Rams. They only came away with three field goals, 9 points in total. But that does not mean they don't give up some yardage, Joe. So I said I might not have a bet for the Packers and the Niners. I already have a bet for the Buccaneers and the Lions. Mike Evans over 68.5 receiving yards. Like you said, Nick Mullins has torched this secondary. Derek Carr has torched this secondary. Dak Prescott torched this secondary. And last week, Matthew Stafford also torched this secondary. secondary, meaning the number one wide receiver for all of those teams that I mentioned. Justin Jefferson twice had more than 140 yards. CeeDee Lamb had 227. Puka Nacua set a rookie wide receiver record for the most receiving yards in a playoff debut last week with a 181. Mike Evans is still the number one guy. It was a relatively quiet day for Mike Evans on that Monday Night Football finale against Philly. Three grabs, just 48 yards, but was targeted seven times. But we still know Mike Evans is that guy. Over 68.5 is what I like there, Joe, because of, I think, having that secondary for Detroit still finding its issues. Doesn't mean I think the Lions lose this game or that the Buccaneers even score a ton, but I do believe Tampa, with Baker Mayfield having thrown for at least 283 yards in four of the last five games for the Buccaneers, will have some success in that aerial attack.
No, that's a great point, and I could see that playing out. I think Baker and Tampa Bay will be successful moving the football, right? And I'll take it on the other side, and that's why I say, you know, I don't feel strong about a side, because as good as and statistically as Tampa Bay has been, and they weren't challenged at all outside that one pass deep by Jalen Hurts to Devontae Smith, they weren't challenged vertically enough by the Philadelphia Eagles, and statistically very good against the run. I think they're going to get torched by Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery in the rushing attack. I think they're going to get challenged deep by St. Brown and Josh Reynolds and a healthy, potentially healthy, Sam Laporta. What do you think about that? I think that Detroit, I could see Detroit putting up 38 points in this ballgame. Yeah. That's why I say party over, baby. 50 plus. Let's get it on. I just can't see that. I'd be stunned if this game goes under the 48.5.
What do you have it altered to already? Because I already know there's a bet in there.
58.5.
Man, I love you. Never change, Lisa guy. Never change. I'm glad that you're already in. Probably mixed in with the winner of the Australian Open, Iga Świątek and Novak Djokovic or something of the sort. But, Joe, I do agree with the point that I think Jared Goff has a good day. 270.5 is his passing yards prop. It's still in Detroit. It's still indoors. Baker Mayfield, 255 and a hook. We'll have the quarterback conversations throughout our show tomorrow, Joe, as we compare the quarterback matchups. But it is a very interesting storyline weekend for the QBs once you reach this stage of the postseason. And for Jared Goff, the number one overall pick in 2016, and Baker Mayfield, the number one overall pick in 2018, of course, neither playing with their original franchise. Baker had a couple of stops before he found his way to Tampa. It's the cast-offs now in the playoffs in the divisional round, a very big matchup and intriguing when it comes to that. And of course, Joe, it all comes to this, the fourth and final game of the divisional round. It is the marquee matchup in Buffalo, the Bills and the Chiefs. The Bills booked as a 2.5-point favorite, the over-under 45.5. Joe, the Bills were a 6-6 football team entering their bye week this year during 2023. Week 14 was a road trip to Arrowhead. They were booked as a short underdog. They won outright 20-17. That was the game Kadarius Toney lined up offsides offensively, and Patrick Mahomes lost his mind on the line, Judge, despite it being the correct call. The Buffalo Bills have not lost since that point, Joe. That was their first win, and they have kept on winning. Make it 6 in a row, dating back to the regular season. The Bills have gone into Arrowhead each of the last 3 regular seasons and won outright. But where KC has the last laugh is that divisional round game in the 2021 NFL playoffs, the overtime thriller, one of the best football games we have seen in the last 2 decades, perhaps, where Kansas City got the better of Buffalo. It's a divisional round rematch. Are we in for another instant classic?
I think so, but I don't think it's going to be as high scoring. I lean to the under in this ballgame. I think Buffalo can win it maybe in the area of like 24-20. Defenses have taken over, but I like the physicality of the Bills rushing attack. You got James Cook, you got a little Lat Murray for, you know, inside the goal line. Josh Allen playing lights out, 72 rushing yards in that ball game. I think they're playing very confident. They have an identity. They know what they want to do offensively and defensively. And this is not to take away from Mahomes, but I think they were a product of playing at home and against a glass house in terms of the Miami Dolphins defense. Anybody could have scored on them last week. They were just as flat as the Philadelphia Eagles and Dallas Cowboys. Throw all three of those teams into a dumpster fire and just light it up, because they were atrocious in terms of that intensity. So that's why I favor Buffalo. One player to keep an eye out, Mecole Hardman, anytime touchdown. I think he could be a spark, though, 8-1.
Interesting. I like that look. Mecole Hardman to find Pater back with Kansas City. Now, of course, Joe, this game will have narratives abound. The Buffalo Bills have now won the AFC East divisional crown for four straight years. Three previous playoff trips, they have never reached a Super Bowl, only in an AFC championship game once in the past two seasons, coming up short in the divisional round. Everything is in their favor for a second straight year with home field advantage in Western New York. The Chiefs, under Patrick Mahomes, 15 playoff starts so far in his 6 years as the starter. All 15 have either been in Arrowhead or at a neutral site for a Super Bowl game. This is the first true road game for Patrick Mahomes in his NFL playoff career. Regardless of the outcome, Joe, in Western New York, there are going to be some takes to be had on Monday.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is it. Pat Mahomes is probably licking his chops to prove all his critics wrong. And if there's one player that could obviously take on the Buffalo Bills single-handedly, it is Patrick Mahomes. Rasheed Rice got going. How do they utilize Pacheco? I will say this. I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs are running for a 147 and 4.3 yards per carry the way they did against the Miami Dolphins. If they do, they'll win this ballgame, but I don't see it.
Yeah, I will be interested to see what that ground attack looks like. Of course, Josh Allen, when it comes to this time of the year, when the weather gets cold, he runs the football like a Mack truck that's a freight train breaking away. Last week it was 38.5. This week already up to 44.5, the rushing yards prop for Josh Allen. And unlike years prior, this Kansas City defense might be the best unit on the team. More on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So as we shared at the start of this hour, the NFL coaching carousel is starting to spin. Bill Belichick, his second interview with the Atlanta Falcons, the Dallas Cowboys retaining Mike McCarthy for 2024, and there are still seven head coaching vacancies. But Joe, there were only seven despite eight head coaching changes, because quickly the Patriots moved forward in their succession plan to name Gerard Mayo the new head coach. He was officially introduced yesterday, and Gerard Mayo was asked by local media, what's the plan with the number three overall pick? Gerard Mayo didn't really mince words. He said, we are going to take the best player at the most important position, virtually saying, we're drafting a quarterback at third overall. Who do you think that guy is going to end up being as the new face of the franchise for the Pats?
Oh, man. I would think about it. I think they'll probably go Drake May. I mean, Caleb's not going to be there, is he?
No.
If Caleb Williams is there, I say they take Caleb, but they're not going to take. He's not going to be there. I would say they draft Drake May. I would draft Jaden Daniels, but they'll probably draft Drake May.
Well, I actually think they might draft Jaden Daniels, and I'll tell you why. Because I think we go 1-2-3 quarterbacks to start off the 2024 NFL draft. Even if the Chicago Bears don't, but the number one overall pick, I think, is going to be Caleb Williams. He's a -10,000 favorite to be that first overall selection. The Bears have that pick right now. If they keep it, they're drafting a quarterback. If they don't, they're trading it to somebody that wants to have Caleb Williams as their quarterback. The Commanders pick second. I think they're drafting a new QB as well. And at number three overall, the Patriots. And if it goes one Caleb Williams, two Drake May, your guy Jaden Daniels, Joe, might end up in Foxborough.
Oh, boy. I just want to say this, brother. Happy birthday. Love working with you. Thank you. Wish you the very best. Love you, man.
I appreciate that, Joe Lisi. You are my favorite. I appreciate it greatly. Hopefully it's a good birthday into a great weekend, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on a Football Friday at noon Eastern.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.